Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content, and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
Hello, Book Fair family, and welcome to another episode of Book Fair. We are super excited that we have a guest with us today. We always love our guest episodes. But first, a small caveat. Our beloved Amanda is not feeling well today, and so she was not able to hop on. So we are definitely missing her. But I am thrilled and honored to introduce you to Dr. Tanya Gold. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tanya.
Thank you.
So what do your patients usually call you?
Dr. Smiley, some patients call me.
Stop it.
I thought it was something like that. I have met Dr. Gold by becoming her patient about a year ago. She is a holistic and integrative primary care doctor here in Tampa, and I lost my primary and had heard some wonderful things from a friend about her attentiveness and effectiveness. And holistic medicine is really what has changed my life. So then we started getting to know each other as friends. And when I found out she had written a book and was working on her audiobook, I was like, you have a book. I have a book podcast. Let's do it. Well, we are so happy to have you here. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, first, thank you so much, Tricia, for having me on. This is amazing. Thank you, Elizabeth, as well. And Amanda out there, speedy recovery. I just feel so blessed to know you and your family and just feel honored to be here today. So it means a lot. So thank you for that. So about me, I'm a family medicine physician. I'm also a board certified in holistic medicine as well as family medicine. And I'm a registered yoga teacher and certified laughter yoga leader. A little mouthful there.
I did not even know laughter yoga was a thing until I went to your office. So you're going to have, Elizabeth and I are both yogis. So you're going to have to tell us all about this.
Absolutely.
I have been to one laughter yoga class and I think you're going to redeem the experience. Yes, but... I'm a little embarrassed to tell you, I walked out of it, but I think I didn't understand it. And so I'm ready for you to redeem it for me.
Absolutely.
And I promise to try it again.
Oh, no, definitely would love for you to come. What laughter yoga is, so first what it isn't, it's not making fun of other people or laughing in a demeaning manner or anything or just doing like any hurtful things. It's all about joining in on the fun. And there are obviously a lot of people hurting and going through some rough times. So it's a way to cheer up your souls, cheer up things that are happening in your life to help you reframe. So we know physiology affects psychology. So it's just, and we'll have you join right now if that's okay, because the best way to learn something is to do it. So I want everybody to show me their pearly whites. Can I see your pearly whites? Yeah, if you're in the audience, please make a little smile here.
We're actually doing this. You have to join us, everyone.
You have to join us. You have to do it. That's why they call me Dr. Smiley, too. And I actually asked one of my patients to show me her teeth, and she took them out. So
oh, my word. Miscommunication.
Keep them inside. I did ask her. So keep those teeth in, but we want to show that teeth. And if you don't have teeth, it's okay. Show the gums, whatever you got. If you have braces, glorify. I mean, again, it's your body. You should uplift and love it. And the idea is we smile to be happy. We laugh to be happy. So again, reframing the brain. And they've actually done studies, research at the university. It was at UCLA where people were told, they weren't told why, but just told to put a pencil between their teeth. So simulating a smile.
Ah.
And then what they found is when they had to answer this questionnaire, a lot of them were more uplifting answers versus the ones who were told to have a frown and they put the pencil right on the top of their lip and they had a little frown face. And then when they answer the questions, they're like, you know, not as positive. But when we laugh, and it's okay to ask, when you're with your friends and you're laughing, how do you feel? And I know on this podcast,
right?
I guess I love it. I couldn't stop laughing. You just feel there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you feel better. Absolutely.
So, and then one thing we do, we bring in a playfulness where we say, very good, very good. Yay. So just think of your kids and let's do it. Join me now. Very good.
Yay.
One more time. Very good. Very good. Yay.
This is going to be a different episode. I'm here for it.
And then, of course, bringing in the love, the stillness of that you matter. You are an important entity in this world. You're a blessing. The world is a better place with you in it. And just to appreciate the love. My dad usually says whenever I sit, tell him I love him, I say, I love you, Dad. He goes, I love you more. And I just thought, what about if we said that to ourselves? We say, I love you. You put your name there and I love you more. And you just keep adding that to yourself every day.
Like, I feel better already.
That's beautiful. Maybe I could replace coffee with some of this. I'm just thinking, like, I feel pretty energized now.
That's awesome.
So how did you, you know, get to become a doctor and smiling and laughter, joy kind of guru? Like, have you always just been a cheerful person?
Oh, actually the opposite. I was very serious. It's in my book too. I was kind of that Debbie Downer. I really just always looked at the worst case scenario. I did smile here and there, but not very often.
I want our listeners to know that Elizabeth's face, she's only been with Dr. Gold for for 7 minutes. And then she said that and her face was like, what? So what? This is such a good story.
I feel like I can usually, I don't know, kind of get people and I'm like, that's not what I saw coming.
So one thing you can change personality. I think a lot of times people like, if you're made this way, that's just how I am. Not true.
I believe that.
You can practice feeling better and you can get better. It doesn't mean you're going to go from one extreme to the other, but slowly by slowly, it's like training for anything. You're not going to run a marathon tomorrow, but if you take one step and then you take another step, can you start doing maybe 200 meters or 200 yards and then work up to maybe a mile? And then, you know, from there, keep working up, of course. So the same with the smiling, can we at least start to show some teeth? You know, even if it's hard. But for me, what happened is I got sick. So just to back up, my dad told me when I was 6 that I was going to be a doctor. And he told my sister, you're going to be a lawyer. Maybe I was 5 or 6. Anyway, I was like, okay, whatever. Sounded good. And because initially I just wanted to be like a baton twirler or something.
Yeah, sure. More reasonable.
You know, it is what it is. So, but actually she did become a lawyer. I became a doctor, which is so funny.
Powerful father there.
I know. He planted that seed. But then I realized when I was getting older, I wanted to be a physician, but I was also into holistic medicine from my dad. He's from the Caribbean. And he basically would give us snacks that nobody else wanted to trade with me. It'd be like plants and chips, or he would give me or real fruit like plantains and I forget peas and rice. And I was like, anybody want to trade for the potato chips? And they'd be like, no. But I noticed, and then also vitamins, I noticed I was getting better. I started growing. He got us into running when I was 10 and I was pretty the shortest in my class. I was like close to less than 5 feet. And at age 13, I started growing. I'm about five, five, six now. And it's, you don't usually grow when you're 13 to 15. So as a girl, especially. So I was like, okay, whatever he's doing, I'm not getting sick. I'm running outside in Central Park and not, you know, it, all year long and in the winter, not getting sick. So I was like, there's something to this zinc he would give us. He would give us, stuff for our bones. He always gave us cod liver oil, which I did not like. Now they have flavors, but back then no flavors. Oh no, but it worked. And honestly, once he gave it to me, I vowed never to take it again, but then I got sick in my 20s. So I was like, I'm taking the cod liver oil again. And I don't stop. Now I take it regularly. I feel better. My hair, my face, my skin, my joints feel so much better. And of course we all succumb to things at times, but compared to where I was, I rarely get sick now, which is wonderful. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. But So what happened, I had a diagnosis of autoimmune disease. I was diagnosed with uveitis in my eye and Lyme's disease. and severe arthritis in my neck. So basically my doctor said, you have to take these IV antibiotics. I was in medical school at the time. So I basically told my doctor, I don't have time to be sick. And he was like, well, tough luck. You have sick. You got to do it. Because I didn't want to take the medicine, of course. And there was eye drops in my eyes for the uveitis, which is an inflammation in the eye. It was very painful. And he said, you have to do these drops every 15 minutes while you're awake, which I was like,
this is insane. Goodness.
I know. And IV antibiotics, which
that would encompass your day.
Yeah, it was, and I was studying for my board. So I was like, this was taking time. He wanted to admit me into the hospital, but fortunately we were able to do it as an outpatient. But yeah, definitely it was a little, you know, dense in my day. And I hadn't really recognized the impact of being a patient and being sick and being in pain. And just, I've honestly embraced to the point I had people pray for me. And my sister's like getting on Google about Lyme's disease and uveitis and all these terrifying stories. And I said, I'm not going to even look at it. Well, first of all, I couldn't really see that well anyway. I was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to look at it. I'm just putting in wellness. I'm just going to put in the mindset that I can get better. And then this is the time I was like, how can I be happier? Because I couldn't watch TV. I was basically isolated in darkness because the light was so sensitive. My eyes were so sensitive to light. I had to wear these dark shades and be in dark rooms. So thankfully, I found the light through laughter. And it said, just laugh. There's a laughter hotline. So you could just literally call in. It was free and it still exists today. And I just laugh with other folks. And it just brought cheer to me. And then I can laugh back. And, you know, we just started growing. And I still call in and know the people for years now. And it really is just heartwarming. That's how I was able to transform. And I found as I laughed more, my body started healing faster. And I started also thinking of natural supplements to take, which I started doing instead of the steroids and the antibiotics. I still did my treatments, but for uveitis, they said there's no cure and you'll constantly get it, which initially I did before I knew about all the laughter. Once I did the laughter consistently, I haven't had a bout of uveitis in years. I'm actually going to write up a study on that, but it's just amazing because of the benefits I found with the natural therapies.
Yeah, you're like the study that I lived. That's convicting.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just makes me want to laugh. Like it's so amazing. And you in your book, I mean, you talk about lots of studies about laughter and what it does for you. And like, there's a lot of science. Like, it's not just like well, this sounds nice.
Right. So the research, so Dr. Kataria is considered the founder of laughter yoga. He's actually a medical doctor in India. He discovered or created laughter yoga in 1995. But what he found is the benefits of laughter actually open up blood vessels. So Michael Miller also studied this. He's a cardiologist at the University of Maryland. And it opens up blood vessels by 22%. We probably heard a lot about nitric oxide boosters. And so many people are like, take this supplement.
Yeah.
Well, laughter does it naturally. So you actually open up these blood vessels by 22%, increasing oxygen to the brain. So they've actually done the studies for folks who are trying to study for an exam. They actually retained more information. Even people with Alzheimer's, dementia, my dad with Parkinson's, we find when we laugh, it's different parts of our brain because with Parkinson's in particular, you get flat faces. So they don't smile, their face stiffens. But when he is in, you know, kind of induced with the playtime. So laughter yoga is actually exercises to get you to play. It's really becoming a child again. I mean, it's within us. Mm-hmm. We're just having fun. Think of when you're jumping on a trampoline or doing a hula hoop or just being with your friends, just being silly. This is what it simulates. And we just have fun exercises to get you to smile and laugh. And that's what I do with my dad. And it's amazing. He glows and his energy goes up. He feels better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think we've all used the statement, you have to want to get better, or mm-hmm. do you want to get better? And that's both offensive, but also really true. Like maybe better to ask yourself than to be asking somebody else, unless it's a real close relationship. But I have been in places where I'd have to think, okay, so I can't change this. So what can I do over here? And this sounds like a fix what you can fix thing. Though maybe you can't change everything about your life, but I can control how I react to it. I can control, I can smile. I can smile if I want to, or even if I don't, I can do it anyway. And
I really believe that. And I love that actual science is backing up an intuition that we've kind of known already, that feeling good is better for you. I mean, my mom used to tell me when I was little that it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. And it seems like you're bringing some real science into that, like, old mom adage there.
Yeah. And for those who really want the heavy science, in my book, I have a whole chapter devoted to the science of laughter. People who teach laughter are called gelotologists, but it actually talks about what actually is happening specifically in the brain, the accumbens and all the different parts of the brain that work, because it is, it's a whole process. We do it instantly, but the whole process to smile and laugh, it really, it's physiology. And when you do it, your brain doesn't know good or bad. It only knows what you tell it. So when you're smiling, the brain says, I'm happy. I feel better. And then what happens is you start feeling happy. Those endorphins get released because the brain says, I'm happy. So I'm going to do all the stuff that makes me happy. And it also helps with healing. As we know, when we're happier, we tend to be healthier. We also heal faster too. And that's what Norman Cousins' Anatomy of an Illness studied. He had ankylosing spondylitis, a severe back condition, where his doctors at that time in the 60s, they told him, I'm so sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. And he was wheelchair bound. His story's online if you're interested. But he actually found through laughter and high doses of vitamin C that he actually got better. And he was able to live out his life. I think he died in the 1990s. So from the 60s to 90s, he, you know, way outlives everybody who said he had maybe had a year to live.
So in a country flooded with pharmacology, you're telling us laughter and vitamin C. Like,
oh yeah, it's one.
That is
not,
amazing.
Not that that's the only thing.
Of course,
but it can definitely make a huge difference. And even the University of Kansas Integrative Medicine Medical Center, they're actually doing therapies with vitamin C, even helping with cancer patients. I've had one patient; his wife had stage 4 breast cancer, and it wasn't a cure, but it helped her start eating again. She had more energy. She was able to drive. And again, this was when she was at kind of the end of her ropes. The doctors basically said there's nothing left that we can do. So our husband was distraught and he looked up the vitamin C therapy. And there was a kind hematologist here in Tampa who actually distributed the protocol. So it's not vitamin C you just get from the drugstore. It's actually a special form and it's high doses that's administered from a physician. But you can get protocols. There's a lot of different places out there that do this. But it is important to just look at the literature. And we know from other countries, too, there's a lot of data on evidence-based medicines. I get from some of my patients, they're told from their physicians, oh, supplements are not FDA approved. No supplements are FDA approved in the United States, but they're approved in Europe. They actually dole them out just like prescription medicines. Why not use the science that they have from the e-monographs and all the evidence that we do have from the NIH to show, and we know vitamin D, there's certain medicines out there now, even some considered new medicines, but one is fish, part of a fish oil. They have a diet, you know, so if there's new medicines out there that they're kind of restructuring or it's fish oil, but they have a new name for it. And, you know, it's, yeah,
just renamed it.
But it's okay. It's coming into existence. And even with cannabis, there's that Epidiolex and some other ones that they're reformulating. As long as it works for the patient and it has less side effects, it's effective and safe, I'm okay with that. And obviously, you want the evidence, so get the evidence base. But there are studies to back up a lot of holistic medicine, plant-based. I use a lot of different supplements out there for patients. But I was going to say one other thing on traffic. Like if you're in traffic, one of my patients, I give out happy stickers and he literally put it in the middle of his steering wheel. And we talked about just laughing more. And now he just laughs when he's in traffic if it's someone fun music. And instead of like cursing out folks, he's reframing and feeling
Don't
better.
You know the people next to him are like, I want to be in his car.
Exactly. But
or has he snapped?
What'd you say?
Or like maybe has he snapped over there in the car next door?
But his blood pressure is better controlled now, because before it honestly was going up and he was literally driving himself crazy. He was getting in road rage and he is avoiding accidents now, which is good. Because, you know, sometimes you put yourself out there. I'm from New York and I know sometimes people can flip, you know, the handle and they just like, and I've been there before too, but thank God for the laughter yoga. It's actually helped me kind of refrain from sending that text or that email or, you know, saying things that I'm going to regret.
Yeah. Wow.
So Elizabeth, what was your laughter yoga experience?
Well,
I think I was also in a place in my life where I just wasn't as open as I could have been because I respected my yoga teacher a lot. She had taught me not just about yoga, but the philosophy mm-hmm. behind yoga and what it does mm-hmm. for our minds and our hearts. And mm-hmm. I was with her. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, years later, when I went through a really hard season and I sat down at my first therapy session, I told her, you know what? I don't even think I need to be here. I think I just need to be in a yoga class and I don't have time to do that all of a sudden. And part of me still thinks that was a little bit true that I, you know, as I moved into a hard season and moved out of yoga, it was hard to process things. But when I sat down in this first laughter yoga, because she had a guest teacher come in, if I could look back and find out it was you, I would really die of embarrassment. But maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But anyway, it was here in Tampa. And I always have to know the why before I can buy into something. And I don't know if I missed the why portion of it. Now, I believe all the things that you're saying about, like, the power of positive thinking and how laughter yoga is just tapping into that. Maybe I just didn't have the self. So I'm sitting on my mat. I also had brought my husband that time and he's looking at me like, are we doing this? And I thought, well, I believe in laughing, but this doesn't seem like real laughing. And you're sitting here telling me, well, your brain doesn't know the difference. And so that's a science side that maybe I didn't have at the time. And I thought, I don't know. I got to clean my house. Now, why didn't I just stay and laugh and instead of go cleaning my house? But I just thought, okay, I don't think he wants to be here. This doesn't seem like what I came for. I'm just going to go. And I didn't try it. And that's not really my personality to not give it a try. So I look back and I'm like, okay, I probably should have stayed and tried it out a little more. And I probably will. I'm going to come. I'm going to try it out. Trisha and I are going to show up in your class. I'm sure of it.
I love it. I love it.
And we have I also know now just the silliness of being in a new spot that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not funny at first, but it probably is legitimately funny by the time you've mm-hmm. done it a few minutes.
Yeah.
I think I can kind of see how your body catches on. I could see that happening.
Yeah. And I do tell folks this is going to feel weird at first. Like that's mm-hmm. normal. And especially like to laugh on purpose. We're so conditioned to laugh when something is funny, not to laugh to feel better. I mean, we don't usually do that. We laugh when things are going well, not to feel better. So the idea is we're training our brains to feel happier. And it's just like anything. If you're preparing for anything, you got to work for it. So again,
yeah,
you're faking it until you make it. And step by step, the first class, you might be like, this is a little strange. I'm not used to it. The second class, you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. Oh, yeah. And then you just keep going and keep doing it. And it's just like, oh, I got this. I got this now. It's like, you know, when you're, I don't know if you've ever done gymnastics or even mm-hmm. learning to drive a car. The first time you're doing it, you're like paying attention to everything. And now you probably just drive and it's like automatic. But that's what happens. And that's how I feel so much better. It's actually hard for me to be angry for long periods because my body's so conditioned. I did try once. I was like, I'm going to just be mad. I want to just see what it feels like. And I couldn't. Like my body wouldn't let me. I was like, oh, God. But I thought that's a good thing, right? I could be happier. It doesn't mean I'm happy yeah. all the time. I'm not. But the idea is I'm happy so much more than I used to be. And my emotional intelligence, my resiliency to managing stress, to solving problems is so much higher. I used to always focus on the problem and what is not going well or what's not like how this is not going to work versus now I'm like, what can we do? Let's get it done and let's just figure it out.
So I also like what you're talking about here is not toxic positivity, which is denying real things in life. No, you're talking about bringing this into your hard spot. Adding it together. Totally. And I like that you clarified that because I think a few years ago I would have thought, well, this is fake. But you're saying, nope, bring it in side by side with the hard stuff. Still address those things, but here's a tool to help you.
Yeah. Embrace the suck at times because things are going to suck. And it's not discounting them or not giving them credit or if something's really sad, not being sad. You're still going to be having emotions. It's just not living there for decades or years or days where it literally makes you so sick you end up in the hospital or it makes you so sick that you're paralyzed that you can't do anything about it and recognize yeah. you have more power than you think.
Wow. I'm going to be thinking on this.
What made you want to write this book? The book is called 7 Habits of Extremely Happy People, The Hidden Secrets to Success.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly always wanted to write a book. For me, it was like leaving a legacy and just doing something that I can give back to other folks. I love reading as well. And the happiness, initially I was going to write on health, you know, I'm a doctor. So I was like, and I want to help people get healthy and happy. But I decided to write this book because it was my story. And then it encompasses a lot of other people's stories too. Like Viktor Frankl's in the book, if you're not familiar, Man's Search for Meaning. He was in the concentration camps and the Nazis confiscated his manuscript. He was, I believe, a psychiatrist. But anyway, he was able to find some joy in a concentration camp, which I was like, he realized they can take everything, strip him of everything, but they couldn't strip him of his humanness. And when I recognize that, I'm like, okay, that's like powerful for me. And then other people live to tell. There's another story about this woman who went through the Rwandan genocide and then found a way to forgive, you know? So I just, when I read these powerful stories, I'm like, I need to share this with the world. One other gentleman, I didn't mention him in my book, but I'm probably going to put him in my next book, Nick Vujicic. He has no arms, no legs. And he's a preacher and he finds a way to bring joy and happiness. And he does stuff like he surfs and he does skiing, you know, on Black Diamond. Like you're like, and he has a family. And so yes, he went through some dark times, of course. But it's how he transformed and how he brings light to people and how they connect to him, because they realize if he can find happiness, can I? So I wanted to share hope with my patients that they're not alone. I suffered too. Again, I would never say I know what you're going through specifically because I'm not you. I can only share my story and my hardship. But if I shared other hardships possibly that can help somebody realize even from the darkest times, you can find light. And it doesn't discount your feelings. You should always have them and own them. But it doesn't mean you have to live by them the rest of your life or you have to suffer the rest of your life. I always feel like suffering is optional and you can reframe the brain any moment to bring in the light, bring in some joy, even a sliver of light, and then make that bigger and bigger. So even with smiling, you might say, I can't smile right now. That's okay. Do what you can do. Can you at least give yourself a hug? Can you at least give yourself one compliment? Can you at least say that I can get through this? Or just, you know, get some help. You know, sometimes we do. We need the, you know, person or a therapist or somebody to help us through this. And actually, I say that takes a strong person to say you need help and then actually to go through and do it. Yeah.
It's your face in a lot then.
Then you can get better is what I'm trying to say. There's no end point. I've had folks at the end of the road where they were told no hope. Like, you know, this is the stage, you know, for cancer or pancreatic. I had a gentleman with pancreatic cancer and he's on cannabis now. He's still alive, which it's almost unheard of 8 years later. But I just tell you, there are stories like that. Why not share those with the world? I don't want to just call them just miracles, which they are, but also call that, you know, if so many people are having these kind of miracles, let's find out what they're doing.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And our bodies are made to continue and to heal and to, it's not just a journey to sickness and death.
Exactly. And what about a journey to wellness, you know, not just masking? So that as a holistic doctor, I don't just patch things. I always think like, God forbid you have like a nail in your tire. Yes, you can just patch it. But what if we actually fix the tire? So we actually just
a good idea.
And have all these patches on our tire. They actually treated the root cause of what's actually going on and then get people well. I had a patient who had a sleeping disorder. They were just giving sleep aids. But no one ever asked him what actually happened. Why did he not sleep well? And he found out his family member was unfaithful. So no one ever asked him that question. He said, I was the first one. And he's been on these sleep aids for 20 years. And they're pretty heavy dose. Yeah, I know. So we started working on some therapy for healing for him for that. He'd never processed any of this.
It seems like an obvious question. And no one had asked him why. But I think we can be trained to not ask why, to just accept the Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's easy, right? Like you just take a pill and you're like, well, I'm sleeping now. But we don't always think of side effects because those medicines, unfortunately, caused weight gain for him. So his blood pressure was high. It also causes effects on his brain. So he's actually getting some early dementia because some of these medicines can affect the brain function. And then also it affects his deep sleep. So he wasn't getting the quality type sleep that is needed for repair of the body.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not hitting rim. I mean, I can't wait to read your book.
Yeah. And there is, if you go to my website, dgoli.com, you can actually get the free intro. So just go to the website and then go to my blogs. I have a lot of stuff on health. On the YouTube channel, I have yoga classes and cooking channels and events. We have goat yoga if you're in town, spa days, and we're doing a beach retreat. Yeah, Costa Rica. We just got back, but we do retreats abroad as well.
I'm cooking up a lot of big ideas in my head, Trisha.
About, I know, right?
About a book fair, yoga retreat with goats in Costa Rica.
That would be amazing.
That would be so much fun. We could definitely do that. That would be a lot of fun. The place I go to, they actually have a yoga center right off the top of her Airbnb. She's a lovely lady. She's become like family. So we've gone there now 2 times and she just keeps welcoming us back. So off the top, we can literally do our yoga classes amidst the Amazon, and it's gorgeous. It's clean air, great food, clean food, very good, tasty and healthy too, nutritious.
Amazing. I also love, so yeah, definitely check out Dr. Gold's YouTube channel. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And she has some laughter practice on there. I also really like the tantrum yoga because it's kind of the same like idea, but the idea is that like sometimes we're mad, but we don't actually like fully let it out.
Right.
And so you literally have a video. It's literally like throw a tantrum. Yes.
That's why it works for kids. It's actually good to let out emotions. That's why I say if you're a person who uses a punching bag, not a person, unless you're sparring and it's safe in Krav Maga or something. But yeah, because there I'm allowed to hit my husband with padding and everything like that. Practice martial arts. It's Israeli combat. But yeah, no, for the laughter, or excuse me, the tantrum, it's basically letting out any emotions you're having and really going wild. So one example, I shared it with my patient who is a lawyer and is in his suit with his two-year-old, and his two-year-old kept throwing a tantrum anytime they went to the mall and had to leave. He didn't want to go. He's like, I'm having too much fun. So he threw a tantrum on the floor. So he's like, I don't know what to do. I asked the pediatricians. I said, why don't you throw a tantrum as well? Of course, he stepped back like I was totally from Mars. And I said, no, I'm being serious. Why don't you try it? You have nothing to lose. You're already kind of at the end of your rope. So he actually did. And as he got on the floor throwing his tantrum in his suit in the middle of Citrus Park Mall, his son goes, he stops the tantrum, his son. And he looks at Daddy, goes, Daddy, stop it. You're embarrassing me. And I've actually had other folks tell me the similar stories with their kids when they did it. Doesn't always work, but I've actually
had it with people. You're embarrassing me.
It changes state. So one thing is the dad told me he wasn't as mad as at his son because he was in a more relaxed state. He was happier with the, and again, it formed a bond. Obviously his son, in his case, stopped throwing the tantrum. So that worked. And he didn't want to throw another tantrum in the mall just in case. That his dad would
But I bet
too.
They were laughing then. I bet they were like, silly old dad.
All laughing. People started stopping in the mall and just kind of staring. But he goes, it's my doctor's orders. I know, I'm not a crazy person. But no, he wasn't. But yeah, he had some stares, but then they realized he's fine. And then everybody started laughing. So it really, we went skiing in Snowbird. I went skiing with my stepmom, and it was her first time skiing. She actually fell several times. We were trying to lift her up, and we all fell down. My dad's laughing. People around us, we lost it. But, you know, those are the times. You just have good times with each
and
other.
You literally feel good.
And it's good to remember those times, too. I keep a little list of all things that cheer me up. So if I'm ever forgetful of, you know, life is like blah, 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 then I have my cheerful book and I could just look at it and honestly go wild with it. Put everything that makes you happy.
So I love that you just said that. And I will just say that is probably the thing that I love most about this book is that you have lots of suggestions like that. So, I mean, that might seem like, oh, well, I mean, that's kind of simple, like keep a cheerful book, but you know, I think the point is that if you start doing those kind of habits with the goal of being more, like you said, being more positive, bringing more laughter, bringing more joy. The thing I'm going to try, and I'm going to say it on here for accountability. So when this airs, you guys can ask me if I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. You say to create a happy playlist mm-hmm. in like wherever you do music, Spotify or whatever. And in the first few minutes you're up in the morning, play a song from your happy playlist, dance a little bit, laugh a little bit, smile, and just start your day off. Essentially, you're telling your brain and your body, we're going to be happy today.
You and have to put Snoop Dogg's affirmation song on there. It's so good. Sin, I appreciate the work you're doing in this. I think there are so many people out here in the world that need to know they have other options that, though they might seem different, and sometimes different seems like harder, more roadblock, but really these are simple things that you're saying, try this first, or just try this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have a few people in my life, and I have been a person that needed like something hard fixed. And, you know, why don't you just start with laughing? Why don't you just start with some sunshine? Why don't you just start with a list of things you love? Those are so practical. And attainable. I mean, anybody can have those things.
Yeah. And I did want to share, because this is something that I suffered with too, with eating, you know, emotional eating, especially in the evening. I know sometimes, first of all, my biggest shtick or thing with this is don't have it in the house, because if it's so available, you're probably going to eat that food. And I know some people say, oh, but for my kids, the kids don't need it either, because the habits they bring now, they're going to have later too. So, but the nice part is there's healthy substitution. So I'm never about depriving yourself. I just always say, why not get a healthier version of something? You can always create it too if it doesn't exist. So one example is, you know, sometimes we eat when we're not hungry. We're just upset, or we had a hard day and we head for that refrigerator or that for that beer or whatever. So my first thing is just to pause. And I call it the 10-minute rule, but just to pause. It doesn't mean you're telling yourself you can't have something, because if you do, you're going to want it even more. It's like, kids, do not open your Christmas presents. Do not open your Christmas presents. Well, what are they going to want? You know, but you can't have something that's not. Nah. You can have as much of whatever you want as you want. Like if you had a patient who smokes, I'm like, you can have 1,000 cigarettes, but I don't want you to because of the ramification. But you tell yourself you can have something, you're just choosing to do something that's better for your health. And that pause allows your brain to assimilate. Because remember, we are in that pleasure seeking on Amazon. We can get things in an hour or 2 hours or whatever quickly, or go to the store, just pick up whatever we want usually. But what I'm trying to say is when we pause and we take back, what is that? Little, like even at this grocery store when they have a BOGO and you're like, oh, it's just one cookie, it's on sale, box of cookies, and I'll just get the two boxes because they're on sale. But then what does that lead to 15 pounds later? Because you've got more cookies. It's not the one cookie you ate, it's the 10 cookies you couldn't stop eating. So it's just where that leads down the road. I have I'm better now, but I have an addiction to TV. Can I just binge watch and binge watch? Of course. But what does that lead to? Less sleep, less good health for my patients because I'm not as alert. It wasn't healthy for me. And that's probably how I got sick too, because I would just, you know, I was self-medicating with TV. So recognizing whatever you're going through, there is help. And I use the laughter to recognize, yes, I can watch TV. It's not all or nothing, but I'm just going to put parameters so I don't go crazy. And if I know there's one show like Sex and the City or whatever it is for you, you know, where you new girl, whatever, and you just can't stop watching, or Hollywood, watching all of them. And then it's like 13 hours later, you're like, ah, how did the time just go? Don't do it. It's okay to realize that one potato chip, again, it's not the one potato chip, but it's what that leads to, or that one cigarette, what it leads to down the road. And then the nice part is you can also add the positive to that is that one laughter. You might say, oh, it's just one laughter. But what is that one laughter can lead to? Some more laughter, some more cheer, or that one uplifting task, or saying yes to something that's so good for you. What else can that lead to? So I always say yes to your health, because it will not wait for you, unfortunately. And the more decisions you make against your health, the more you're going to lead to illness or despair. You know, we can keep people alive, but how are they living? I know no one has told me they want to feel lousy or live in a nursing home. So why not put the parameters in? Nothing's guaranteed, but why not increase the odds that you feel better? And we know almost instantaneously, if you practice this, you can feel better. The research shows 20 minutes a day. So it's not forever. Like even exercise 10 minutes a day. And most people are not even doing that. So I just say, stand up. I'm talking to you from a standing desk. I just do little things to bring it in. So what I create is simple hacks or tools that you can add that a lot of the little things add up. So you're steering yourself towards feeling better, towards wellness. And the nice part is as you do more and more, it gives you more energy, so you feel better, and then you'd want to do even more things. So when I started laughing, no, I did not laugh for 20 minutes the first time. I laughed for like a minute or two.
It'd be an ab workout.
It is. I have that on my YouTube channel, too. It's one of my ab workouts, the laughing. It is. Well, I trained for a bodybuilding show last year. I'm not kidding. Most of it was just laughter. And people were like, really? I was like, that's the best ab work ever, to really heartily laugh.
I could just listen to you all day. And it's just so powerful. The thing that I love about your message is that you are a doctor. So I feel like if, you know, it was somebody, just some random person who was like, just laugh a lot. It will change your life. I think you would just kind of be like, well, I don't think my doctor would say that's what I need to do to be healthy. You know? So it's like you are combining when I go in as a patient to your office, you know, you're combining things like this with blood work and like scientific evidence-based medicine as well, that so it can all work together to get healthier. Yeah. And that's what's just so beautiful about it. You're not neglecting, you know, someone's illness or saying that they shouldn't get treatment, but you are bringing all of this in to empower us to create as much of our own wellness as possible.
Identify the disease. So everybody's different, but we're also similar. The way we digest, the way we eat, all that plays a role. And if we know physiology, your body can improve. If you meditate on a regular basis, you can create new neuronal circuitry. Those nerve cells can communicate differently. It's plasticity. We can actually create new connections. And that's what we do with laughter. We're actually creating new neuronal connections.
Amazing. So where can people find your book and your audiobook?
Yeah. So the audiobook's out. It's in my voice. So I was like, the first time I was a little shy about my voice, because when I grew up, I was very shy and quiet. And I, you know, from New York, I say Wana. So I really had to practice enunciation. So it is with all that in there. But to find the book, it's on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, kind of all the major areas. And we do the proceeds, a percentage of the proceeds does go to the Crisis Center of Tampa Bay. So we do really appreciate your donations, your support, because we do make the donations to that entity. It's just, they really are a wonderful resource for anybody in crisis and that needs help, and to find the light, find resources. That's important. For the audiobook, Audibles, woohoo! And I'm yay! And all the good stuff. So but if you have any questions, please reach out. My number is on my website too. So you're not bothering me if you text, or I'm the doctor who gives out my number to people.
That's amazing.
I just want people. So again, the website, you'll have it in the link too. It's dgoli.com, which stands for Dr. Gold's Optimal Living Institute. And our whole goal, honestly, is to keep you out of the office, keep you well. Of course, if you need your checkups and stuff, but if you are sick, let's work with you. I give hugs to my patients with their permission, of course, or just when I say hug, it can be a virtual hug too, if you're not comfortable with touch, because your body's your own. But the idea is that you have somebody who's going to listen to you, who's going to actually pay attention to what you have to say, who's going to spend time with you, and who wants to actually get you well. And I'm not saying that other doctors don't. It's just sometimes it is a time crunch. When I worked in corporate America, we literally had 15 minutes with a patient, and that included them walking through the door. So how are you going to really take care of a patient? It literally had time to barely write their refills, but it's, and especially with the EMR, this is before the EMR. So anyway, I pray good things for you. I love you all. I'm just sending out my wishes to know that your body is meant to heal, that your mind does work with what you train it to do. So you can actually train yourself to be happier. And it can start with just a simple smile. And again, I know when I say simple, I know it's not always easy. So just practice even massaging the cheeks or doing things that are ready, that you're comfortable, that are good for you, and then gradually working up to being happier. I had one patient say, Dr. Gold, I haven't smiled in a long time. And I said, well, can we just start with one cheek? So he showed Like, we just start with like baby steps, and he just showed me one teeth. He raised one corner of his mouth like this. And I said, can I see a few more teeth or gums or whatever? And then he slowly raised the other one. He's like, oh, okay, there we go. And he's like this. And I'm like, all right, that's a start. That's a little scary, but that's a start. But the nice part is he kept practicing. And even 1 minute of exercise, I had a busy mom that's like, Dr. Gull, I have no time to exercise. I was like, but what if we just made it part of your work schedule where literally while you're at work, you're using a stepper or you're doing something where you lift up your legs. Every 20 minutes, you get up for 20 seconds. And the research shows if you do that, it's actually benefiting you versus sitting for 8 hours straight. It's just, and you know, even at lunchtime, I see folks going to their car and just eating in their car or texting instead of just going walk around the block where your kids are playing soccer. What about just instead of you just sitting on the sidelines, you actually, you know, walk around while they're playing soccer and cheering them on, but doing your exercise or movement. And you can add in some weight bearing where it's with a band or sometimes doing push-ups against a tree or something, you know, and I have tons of different ideas like squats and other things. But the more you do something, it can lead to something else and it can lead to something else. Krav Maga I like because if families do it together, and we literally have families, one lady got her black belt at 72. So it's, you know, it's there. And I know Trisha does, you know, with her son, and I'm not sure what she's doing right now, but because I took a little hiatus, I needed a little break. But the idea is you can blend in stuff and it works with families. The nice part is when you take care of you, and you do it with your family, you're exercising together. It's just so much fun. You enjoy it. And then it's quality time with your kid, with your child, and then with they're getting time with you too. You're not on, you know, the cell phones where we sometimes literally see families together, but they're really not. Everybody's in their own kind of world. So, and it doesn't mean you can't ever do that, but it's also nice to blend them where you're talking, conversing. And beautiful. Laughing.
Yes, laughing. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your time and this, all this wonderful wisdom about making our lives happier and healthier. So Book Fair, we will of course put up a post about this episode, and we want to know, what did you think about this episode with Dr. Gold? Have you ever heard of laughter yoga? Would you do laughter yoga, or would you run away like Elizabeth?
I repent.
You know what? You can always come back. That's the one thing. If anything ever happens, come it's back. Not the end of the game. No end point.
So we want to hear all of your thoughts about this. And I hope that some of you will pick up her book because it is lovely. So until next time, I am Trisha.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Dr. Gold.
And happy, healthful reading.
Hey.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.